From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate. A pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beats California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator. They're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a street in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of his second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, extending a very special welcome to everybody joining us throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93. Everyone tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And yeah, all of you joining us worldwide at horseracingradio.net, just as listeners in 167 countries did in 2016. Happy to have you with us on this January 14th, 2017 edition of the Equine Forum. JT, good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of things happening in the world of thoroughbred racing. It's a somewhat of a quieter weekend, but in a lot of respects, it's a weekend where we start to kind of crank things up maybe just a little bit looking toward that road to the Kentucky Derby with the opening of Oaklawn Park yesterday and then the Smarty Jones Stakes coming up on Monday.
Yeah, that's, a stakes that traditionally gets a pretty large field that kicks off the Triple Crown run in Arkansas, and that's a very potent place to race during the winter for Triple Crown contenders. So everybody will be keeping an eye on the Smarty Jones Monday.
Yeah, great point. It's a series, that series at Oaklawn, that's produced several major Kentucky Derby candidates, including the aforementioned Smarty Jones, who this race today on Monday is named after. Why is that program? What is it about that program that just seems to fit? Is it the timing of those prep races?
I don't know if timing makes that much of a difference, but you know, it's a quality run. It's got a nice little schedule to it. The track is a nice, safe track to train on when it's not frozen.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's not frozen. It's only frozen early on in the meet occasionally. But it's got everything that you'd want if you're prepping a horse for the Derby, other than the fact that Bob Baffert runs in those races a lot. You try to avoid him at all costs.
Yeah,
it's his birthday. His birthday just passed. Yeah.
Yesterday. Yeah.
So 64.
No.
Doesn't look a day over 63.
He is 64.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. No, he doesn't look it. He looks great.
Yeah. No, he's doing well.
I don't know what you're supposed to look like at 64, but
I don't know.
I can't even look across at you because you're not even near 64 yet.
No, I got a ways to go for 64.
Yeah.
I'll never catch Baffert in so many ways.
Yeah. Not just in age.
Right.
You know, it's interesting when you look at that Smarty Jones Stakes and you look at the recent winners who have come from that race. It's not a race that you would expect to produce the Kentucky Derby winner. Just looking at the horses that have won the race in recent years, you look at Discreetness and Far Right and Tanzanite Cat being the last three. But then you go back to 2013, and there's a name on that list that really is going to ring a bell, and that's Will Take Charge. Didn't win the Kentucky Derby, but as we know, came back to be one heck of a racehorse.
Yeah, Will Take Charge is one of my favorites. I saw him break his mane at Keeneland, and I do some consulting work for a guy who's a professional gambler in Europe, and I put him on the list, and he argued with me about it, said his numbers were slow and this and that. So every time Will Take Charge won a race, I would send him a little note to talk about Will Take Charge.
Yeah, you loved him.
I did. He was just a real good-looking horse, and when he broke his mane, he just impressed me tremendously, just his poise and his stride and lots of things to like about him. And he, you know, he fell on hard times for a while, and he wasn't running up to snuff. And then all of a sudden here he came and just won everything in sight. So he's a pretty cool horse.
Well, we are officially, let's see, we are 112 days, 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 39 seconds away from the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on Saturday, May 6th. We are only 14 days away from that $12 million Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream. We will be there to bring you that exclusive radio coverage beginning 4:30 Eastern Time on Saturday, January 28th. That is a race that is shaping up to be absolutely tremendous, at least when you look at the top two. You have California Chrome, who is already at Gulfstream Park, and you have Arrowgate, who defeated California Chrome in the Breeders' Cup Classic. We'll see that tremendous rematch. All things being equal over the next 2 weeks, everybody stays on track. We'll get a chance to see that rematch on January 28th.
Yeah, that should be a heck of a race, and I believe California Chrome... you know, he's coming up to the race in great shape. I talked to Alan Sherman this week, and he's very happy with everything that's going on there. And, of course, you know, Arrogate missed his prep race, but he's been training well in California. And so figures to shape up to be a really, really good race. And they're getting a few more entrants here and there. I don't know if there's anybody that can scratch the surface of the top two, but we'll see what happens.
Good point about the prep race. California Chrome had that prep race at Los Alamitos, whereas, as you mentioned, Arrowgate unable to make the prep race because of the wet conditions in California. The wet conditions have continued at Santa Anita to the point where they had to cancel racing the other day. You look at what Bob Baffert has done with some of his horses over his career, and it's a Hall of Fame career. He's a four-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer. We know all the accolades that are rightfully bestowed upon Bob Baffert. But Jude, you take a look at what he's doing here with Arrowgate, having missed the prep race, then having to train him up to the race, having to deal with the wet conditions and kind of alter his training schedule. And he's really playing a game of chess here, trying to get Arrowgate to the $12 million Pegasus World Cup on the 28th. If Arrowgate steps up and beats Chrome again, would this be among maybe the most impressive training jobs by Bob Baffert?
Well, I think... it's already been an impressive training job, but yeah, adversity, you know, is the way that trainers look at everything. They're always under the gun for different things, but you know, weather, especially in California, is very treacherous. And I remember one year, Bobby Frankel, we had a horrible winter, and Bobby just shed rode everything and jogged, never galloped a horse, and then the minute the track got good, he worked everybody 7/8. 7/8, 7/8, 7/8.
Really?
So, yeah. And they all won. They all won off of jogging and 1/7/8 work. I mean, he won like, I want to say it was like 13 races in, you know, 10 days or something. I mean, just everything, like trained pigs. And, you know, you never know. Sometimes that little bit of freshening is just what a horse needs, you know? Make them really feeling good and wanting to run.
Yep.
And I thought that was like the most brilliant job of training a group of horses under adverse conditions. But you do the best you can. The first time I won $100,000 was at Santa Anita, and it was the Sierra Nevada handicap, a mile and a quarter on the turf. And I had actually worked a horse, between races. My horse, Pewter Gray, I worked in between races and got him ready for that race. And after the race, John Russell, the late John Russell, who ran the favorite in the Sierra Nevada and got beat, they said, well, you know, what do you think? Well, that guy's a claiming horse trainer, and he didn't mind working his horse in the mud. That's what I got from John Russell. And then Charlie Whittingham said, you got to squash the ants before they eat the whole picnic. And... But not a popular victory with the famous trainers, but
yeah.
But it was very popular with me and a lot of my friends, and we you just do the best you can. And Baffert said that the other day in his post work interview. You don't often see trainers interviewed post work like
right.
It was a race, but you know he said he was very happy to get the work in, and you know he wanted to make sure the track was, you know, as safe as possible, and you only have so much control over what goes on, and all of that is true. But I hearken back to one morning at Santa Anita when I was walking in, and Charlie Whittingham walked in the same time I did, and he said, "Are you working anything today?" And I said, "Well, I have this horse. I really have to work." He says, "Son, you never have to work." And
wow.
And that was some great advice that I never forgot. But he said they're gonna open the track for me at 5:30, and they're gonna close the gates behind me. So if you want to work, that's the time you got to be there. So I did. I got Joe Steiner out of bed. He was working for Johnny Longden.
Sure.
And he was sleeping in the tack room at Longden's barn. I got him out of bed. I said, "I need you to work a horse a mile for me at 5:30. And I said, "I'm going to go get the horse ready and I'll bring him down to you." He said, "All right." So Joe scrambled, put on his clothes. We went out to the track. We were at the gate. Here comes Whittingham's horses. They opened the gate. They closed the gates behind us. My horse worked a mile in 1:37.4. And, of course, it didn't show because they had told the clockers the track wasn't going to be open. So it wasn't in the paper. So he won on San Anita Derby Day, went wire to wire. He hadn't won a race in 3 years. I had just claimed him. He hadn't won a race in 3 years, and he won that day.
Wow.
So, it was, you know, I mean, you just sometimes things fall in your lap. You just got to do the best you can.
Yeah, well, Bob Baffert's certainly doing that, and he's made a living of doing the best he can, and that best is usually plenty good enough. We'll see that rematch with California Chrome January 28th. You will hear it right here exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Stay tuned for all of the SiriusXM channel information, all of the affiliate information. We'll have it on our website for you shortly as we edge closer to that $12 million Pegasus World Cup. Speaking of the Pegasus World Cup, after our first break here in just a couple of minutes, Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds will be with us. He is going to join us from South Florida, where he will be for the entire winter. Earlier this week, it was announced that Terry and Dean Reeves, the man behind, of course, Breeders' Cup Classic winner Mucho Macho Man, struck a deal on a horse to run in the Pegasus World Cup. And that horse is Grade 3 winner Breaking Lucky. Now, we're going to talk to Terry all about Breaking Lucky after our first break. NTRA Chief Operating Officer Keith Chamberlain is going to be with us right around 8:40 Eastern time. And Keith is going to discuss the upcoming NHC tournament in Vegas and also the proposed regulations regarding withholding and reporting of parimutuel winnings. Now, that's an interesting proposal that's on the table, and that legislation very, very beneficial to horse players. So we'll talk to Keith coming up 8:40. He'll explain that legislation and how you can help support that cause. Michael Hernan will be with us right around 9:25 Eastern time this morning. He will preview all of the Gainesway Stallions, that stallion roster loaded, including champion sire Tappet. And then Jude and I will take a look at the Kentucky Derby picture. We'll also take a look at some of the big races coming up this weekend. So it's a very full show. We're going to get to it next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Adina Stallion Ghost Sapper, the sire of seven graded stakes winners in 2016, including Grade 1 winners Shaman Ghost and Green Zapper, plus the exciting undefeated two-year-old McCracken.
But McCracken is bearing down on the outside. Here's McCracken in wild shot with a 16th to go, and McCracken grabs the lead 100 yards out, and he does it again. McCracken wins the Kentucky Jockey Club from off the pace by a length.
McCracken stamped himself a major Kentucky Derby contender with another impressive victory at Churchill Downs. Ghost Sapper has produced 9 Grade 1 winners, 6 millionaires, and 3 champions, so it's easy to see why his yearlings have been so well received in 2016, selling for up to $825,000. Ghost Sapper was the number 4 Keeneland September Book 1 sire, with yearlings averaging $417,000. Ghost Sapper, standing at Adina Springs. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion, all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
They're coming down for the finish. It's Catapult with the lead. Strike Midnight challenged but could not surpass Catapult, who wins the Gio Ponte Stakes.
Catapult's determined victory in the Gio Ponte Stakes at Aqueduct made the $350,000 yearling purchase the newest stakes winner for leading sire Kitten's Joy. With over $10 million in progeny earnings, Kitten's Joy is the leading turf sire in America for the fourth year in a row and currently ranks number five on the general sire list. Kitten's Joy, world class at Ramsey Farm.
New to Cool More America for 2017, Air Force Blue. A force to be reckoned with. A champion two-year-old by Warfront.
And Air Force Blue now comes bounding through. Two, three lengths clear. A really good horse.
A three-time Group 1 winner, armed with a devastating turn of foot. He's ready to take flight as a sire. It's time to get on board. Cool More America, home of champions.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Breaking Lucky is now winding up on the outside. Both Are You Kidding Me and Breaking Lucky, they are descending on Royal Sun. Mel Mitch is gathering pace, three of them. They wheel for the judge in the Seagram Cup. Are You Kidding Me, the center. On the inside, Royal Sun, and down the outside, Breaking Lucky. And Breaking Lucky's hit the front. Mel Mitch out wide, Breaking Lucky in front. Mel Mitch flying home on the outside. Breaking Lucky, Are You Kidding Me, and Mel Mitch. Breaking Lucky hanging on. Breaking Lucky in the Seagram Cup. And Breaking Lucky's done it. Are You Kidding Me second, Mel Mitch third, and then Royal Sun.
Robert Geller with the call of the Grade 3 Seagram Cup Stakes at Woodbine back on August 1st of last year. Breaking Lucky getting the victory that day. He has a date with California Chrome and Arrowgate in the $12 million Pegasus World Cup coming up on January 28th. Again, as we told you in the first half of the program, that broadcast going to be heard exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Make sure you join us beginning 4:30 Eastern Time on Saturday, January 28th. It kicks off our Saturdays at Gulfstream series, where we will bring you exclusive radio coverage of Gulfstream's biggest races every single Saturday from January 28th through the Florida Derby on April 1st. That entire series is presented by our friends at the FTBOA. And happy to have them on board as the title sponsor of that series this year, and looking forward to that coverage. Looking forward to that race, JT. Should be a heck of a horse race.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's amazing. The Gulfstream meet, you know, it's taken a little flack in the last couple of years because, you know, racing's kind of diluted. But every one of the major stakes is just unbelievable. I mean, when they hang a graded race up, they're tough to win. And, you know, it's a meet that I look forward to every year.
Well, Breaking Lucky is going to be a long shot in that race. When you throw in California Chrome and Arrowgate, there's no doubt Breaking Lucky will be on the outside looking in terms of the wagering. But don't tell that to his owners. That's Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds and Dean Reeves of Reeves Thoroughbred Racing. That deal getting done this past week. Terry joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Terry, welcome to the program, my friend.
Gents, always a pleasure to be with you, and I wish that you would stop bringing up the fact that we got to run against Chrome and Arrowgate. I tried to put that out of my mind, but you just keep bringing it up, Mike, but let's go. Come on.
All right, so what makes somebody want to invest in a horse to take on the top two horses arguably in the world?
Well, your $12 million will do it for you, right? $12 million will get your attention. So I would imagine that's probably what they thought about, the group of shareholders, that they came together almost a year ago and said, let's see if we can put on a real spectacle. So, I'm sure thought that as we got closer, they were going to get people that were going to be moving and jiving and trying to put themselves in a position to get a piece or all of the winner's pot of 12 million. So it really comes down to money, but we're guilty as charged when people say that we love to run on big days, because it's a lot of fun and the partners love it and there's a lot of sizzle and everybody just so excited. I mean, the race is 15 days away, and I think every day as we get closer it'll get more intense and more exciting. So we are very, very happy to be part of it.
Well, I think the money aside, it's a very sporting gesture to make an effort to run in this race. I mean, arguably, it is a crazy thing to want to line up to run against those two horses. I mean, most of the time in racing, we avoid running against horses of that caliber if we can possibly do it. I mean, we avoid running against a maiden 12-5 that's run, 2 seconds in a row. Oh, we don't want to run against that horse,
Yeah.
So now to like step up to the plate, to pay extra money to run in this race against arguably the two best horses in training in North America for sure, and quite possibly the world. I mean, that's really a sporting thing to do.
Well, Jude, no, there's no doubt. I mean, I go back and I really give all the credit to the Strana Group and to the 11 other shareholders that put their money where their mouth is. I mean, we are a business that we talk about trying to be forward and doing new things to appeal to the next generation of our fans. And, this is certainly going to do it. So the fact that we had 12 people in our industry that wrote out a check for $1 million, I can't say enough about them. And, you think back, I was in college when I saw the Breeders' Cup for the first time in 1984. And, that people had there were distractors with the Breeders' Cup, but it was something new, and it really helped the business. So I think we all should be in a position where we're hoping, and we do everything we can individually to make this a success. So in 30 years, the people that take over the business for us are in the position where they say, "Boy, the Pegasus was really a novel idea." And it was great that the industry at the time got behind it. And that's the wish I think we all should have.
Well, I don't want to sound like the Senate confirmation hearings, but can you explain to our listeners what's involved in running in this race? Because there's people have so many questions. They don't quite understand all the nuances. And I'm sure you are, have the knowledge and firsthand experience to explain it.
Right, Jude. Well, there are 12 shareholders, that own a gate in the Pegasus. So I don't know how many there were. There were probably three or four. I think Coolmore and the Judmont people got together. They were one of the first ones to do a deal. But I think there were six or seven other people that had put up $1 million to buy a stall in the Pegasus, and they didn't have a horse. So it very, very easily and simplistically, it came down to horse trading. You know, people that own slots were out all over the world. They're trying to attract the attention of the owners of the horses that fit in this race, and that would be, you know, somewhat competitive. Obviously, you brought it up that the two best horses probably in a lot of years are going to line up in the starting gate as well. But, and that's what people have done. The shareholders have done. They've gone out. You know, they went to South America. They went far and wide across the U.S. and Canada, and they tried to put themselves in a position where they were able to negotiate a deal. And the vast majority of them worked out some financial structure. So, in essence, you know, the shareholders with their $1 million investment in the stall was on one side, and then the other side, the people that had the horses, they got together, and almost all of them that I know, they did a revenue sharing. And in our case, the Reeves actually liked this horse so much that we did a deal for the stall. We provided the horse, and then the Reeves actually bought into an equity stake of Breaking Lucky, and I believe we're the only ones that the shareholders actually bought an equity stake in the horse. So I'm not sure if that clarified anything there, but you know, that's what it is. It just goes back to the simple process of a horse trading, and we're all going to go forward, and there'll be 12 entities that load up into the starting gate at the end of the month.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Lexington studios here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, visiting with West Point Thoroughbreds Terry Finley, talking about the Pegasus World Cup, Breaking Lucky going to the post for them on January 28th. Terry, I had gotten the question from several people. I didn't know how to answer it, so I reached out to Dean Reeves, and the question was, how does it all work? How does the purse distribution work, and what do the stakeholders, what other monies go back to the stakeholders who are putting up that $1 million for a starting gate position in the World Cup? And here's the way it breaks down. This is what Dean sent back to me. The first place money is $7 million. Second place, $1.75 million. Third place is $1 million. And then fourth through 12th, everybody will get $250,000 for finishing in those positions. Then the stakeholders will also split up the profits from the handle of that race and any profits from sponsorship revenue tied into the Pegasus World Cup. So there are other monies that go back into trying to make all of those individuals somewhat whole that took the risk and put up the $1 million. Is that correct?
Yes. And so Mike, we focused on the actual starting berth. You know, the horses or the people that own the horses, for the most part, from what I know, didn't get into, you know, the financial aspect of actually owning the share and the relationship between owning the share with the Stronach Group. So I'm not dodging the question. I just know that they're working on their end. And the thing about it is, there's no doubt. Every one of them is going to take a hit. And I think everyone that I know, at least, they're looking at this as an investment, and they're looking at it long term. And I'm sure that year two is going to be better. There's going to be some tweaks, and there might be some new shareholders. But, and you know, I think people will be a lot more comfortable with the process in 2018 than they are now. But we're going to kickstart it off, and we'll let the numbers fall where they may. But you know, it's the start of what we all hope to be something really, really big.
Well, it could actually be a more competitive race, if you want to call it that, next year without the two big horses that are running this year. You know, racing is dynamic and changes all the time. So if you had a more evenly matched field, like maybe your typical Don field or San Diego handicap field or whatever, it would be more of a competitive race and better for the shareholders than this year's race. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, everything, if you were a shareholder, everything that could go wrong went wrong in the first year, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt, but I know one thing. The shareholders, now, of course, you're going to take a little bit of a hit on just on the P&L, right? but they now know the system, and everyone that I know has been very excited and very into, you know, what are the ideas and what are the things that we can do to help change the, you know, the model and the tweaks to make it better in the next year. So, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt that the two best horses in a long time are going to be in that starting gate, and that certainly has affected, you know, horses that are staying on the West Coast or running the big cap or getting ready for the Dubai World Cup and not coming here. But on the flip side, you know, you have two marquee dudes, and you got California Chrome, one of the most popular horses in, you know, several generations. And I give their owners a lot of credit. Like, the vast majority of horses that we've seen in the last 40 years, they've got to the end of their four-year-old year or their end of the five-year-old year, and they've gone to Kentucky. So I think we've got to give credit where credit's due, is that we finally got a really top-end horse that didn't go right to Lexington to start his breeding career. So, I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And I think that we're going to see, you know, people that own 3 and 4 year olds, as they get to the towards their end of the season, they're going to have to be thinking about the Pegasus. And, you know, how good is that to be able to influence the owners of our top horses and our heroes and the horses that are capturing the attention of the public, and to keep them around, you know, even if it's for another race? That's a win-win for our industry. And, you know, kudos to California Chrome and Duncan Taylor and all the boys and everybody associated with Team California Chrome. It's a great thing to be able to see him one more time, you know, for, you know, the racing world all over the world.
Yeah, and if you think about the Arlington Million and that statue of John Henry and the Bart, you know, that kicked off the Arlington Million, and what kind of a race that's become, and if you could, you know, bottle that, have the same kind of finish with California Chrome and Arrogate, you know, what a great way to kick off a race that conceivably could have tremendous magnitude in years to come.
Well, now, I'm not trying to be funny or anything, Jude, but yeah, that would be great. So that's a win-win. But it also would be great if you know, an underdog and a horse that was 20 or 30 or 40 to 1 jumped up and gave the performance of his life and you know, made a mark and, you know, hit the board. I'm not sure anybody can beat one of those two, but, you know, that's why they load them in the gate. And, you know, we've talked about it, going to the tactical side of things and the blocking and the tackling. Like, you go a mile and an eighth at a Gulfstream, I don't care if you're much the best. If you end up in the 12th hole and you get marooned out there, you're in a tough way. You're in a tough go, especially if you're a horse that likes to be up near the lead. So, I mean, they're the two best horses by far, but that post position draw is going to be absolutely vital for everybody. And, you know, what if they end up in the 11 and 12 hole? Then I think the dynamic of the race changes, you know, pretty substantially.
Well, you hear Terry say it would be great if the horse was 20, 30, 40 to 1 that would win this race, and I'm sure Terry would agree it would be great if that horse's name was Breaking Lucky. And, again, he goes to the post against the big two coming up January 28th in the $12 million Pegasus World Cup. Terry, really do appreciate the time, my friend, and as they say in football, it's any given Sunday. Hey, who knows? In horse racing, any given Saturday, anything can happen. Congrats on Breaking Lucky, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, my friend.
Sounds great, you guys. I look forward to seeing you at Gulfstream at the end of the month for the Pegasus World Cup.
All right, Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at Embrace the Race and EmbraceTheRace.com. Going to be fun. I love the way he snuck that in there. It would be exciting if a horse is 20, 30, 40 to 1. Well, sure, it would be exciting.
You know, you got to be an optimist. I mean, it's a reach, right? But we know they don't run them on paper, but it's still a reach. And I don't really care if those two horses draw the 11 or 12. I don't care.
Right.
You know,
they're just much the best. They're going to be much better than the competition they're going to face. And, you know, the story of Breaking Lucky and how Dean Reeves was able to put that deal together. Dean has been looking for a Pegasus World Cup horse for months now. He's made a trip to Japan. He has been all over the country looking for that horse. He actually thought that he had a deal done with Connect. They decided not to run him in the race. Midnight Storm, same situation. He even thought for a brief moment he had Arrowgate locked in for his horse, and then that whole thing blew up. He thought he had Keen Ice. He thought he had Gunrunner. He thought he had Conquest Enforcer at one point, and then here he is now with Breaking Lucky. And it got so dire for Dean, because he's one of the stakeholders, right? It got so dire for Dean that he was sitting there in his barn at Gulfstream Park, kind of with his head down, looked down the shed row, and saw their goat, BG, Baby Goat is what it stands for, saw BG, and thought, man, maybe BG would be a good fit in the Pegasus World Cup. And then he realized that wasn't going to work, and next thing you know, here they are with Breaking Lucky.
Yeah, well, Breaking Lucky, he's an up-and-coming horse. He's accomplished, so he's not the worst stab in the world.
You never know. Anything can happen. They don't run the race on paper. They run it on the track, and that will be the case January 28th. That exclusive coverage all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 4:30 Eastern, Saturday, January 28th. Typically, this is the time we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but because we're backed up on time and Keith Chamlin of the NTRA is coming up next, we're going to bypass the story. We will have a word for you from the Lexus store of Lexington. I tell you, every single week on this program, you're in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, you go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, all the great folks at the Lexus store. They will take care of you on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with Keith Chamlin right after this.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Don't miss the 5th Annual Houston Racing Festival from Sam Houston Race Park with over $800,000 in purses Sunday, January 29th. The Houston Racing Festival will be anchored by the $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and will feature four additional stakes races, including the $250,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, the Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and the Spa City Stakes, also the Houston Distaff. First post will be 12 p.m. Central. Take advantage of our low 12% takeout at Sam Houston Race Park.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like, just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, that's when I knew I had it going. I was stalking her all that time, and I knew she was going a decent pace for a mile and a half, but I was stalking her and just watching her, and when my horse creeped up on her a little more without me asking him, that meant she was starting to slow up. So when we got to the 3/8 pole, she was done. She was done. I knew right then and there, and I hadn't called on him yet. I waited till the 4:15 before I even chirped him. And when I did, you could feel his power and his stride just, after going a mile and a quarter, he just exploded. So you can say at the 3/8 pole, I knew I had won.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That soundbite you just heard coming out of the commercial break was Hall of Fame jockey Eddie Delahousse, who joined Christina McManigal on our weekly Jock Talk program presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka this past week, and talking about defeating winning colors with Risen Star in the 1988 Belmont Stakes, and what a performance that was. And Eddie D., somebody, Jude, that you knew being out in California for all those years, somebody who was so, so good when he was aboard a racehorse.
Oh, yeah. I always felt real comfortable when he rode for me. He rode my first winner as a trainer. He also rode Pewter Gray, my first 100 grander, my first graded winner. So we have a long history, and our families have been friends for many years. Great guy, Eddie D.
We would encourage you to head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast of that entire show. It's a one-hour visit with Hall of Famer Eddie Delahousse. You can hear it right now, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Keith Chamblin is the Chief Operating Officer of the NTRA, and he is with us now. Some big news coming out over the course of the past week regarding some legislation which is going to be extremely pertinent to horse players, so make sure you're listening in here with Keith Chamblin. Keith, appreciate the time.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you all.
Yeah, happy Saturday to you too, my friend, and happy to have you on board with us. Walk us through the new legislation, the proposed legislation, and how it is going to benefit horse players if everything comes to pass.
Well, it's not really legislation in that we need an act of Congress to get this done. We tried that for the better part of 10 years and really had no success up on Capitol Hill. So we went straight to the Treasury and the IRS, and after determining that we could fulfill most of our objectives through regulatory changes enacted by the Treasury. And that's what we've been working on for nearly 3 years now. But all that hard work has gotten us to the point where on December 30th, the IRS published newly proposed parimutuel regulations related to parimutuel gambling winnings. And the document was entitled Withholding on Payments of Certain Gambling Winnings. And it really clarifies and fixes a historical wrong that has been in place for nearly 40 years. And to summarize, currently when payoffs are reported to the IRS, they are $600 or more, or at odds of 300 to 1 or greater, so a $2 trifecta payoff at, say, $700 is reported to the IRS. In addition, 25% of the proceeds are withheld for federal taxes if the payoff is 300 to 1 or exceeds $5,000. So the problem is that under the current language, those thresholds are considered to be met in a very faulty way, and an assumption that has made that a bettor has only made a $2 winning bet or the $2 base bet when their actual investment into any one of these pools, as we all know, is always much more than $1 or $2 or whatever the minimum base unit is. Nobody bets or very few people bet a $1 pick six or a $2 pick six tickets. Usually it's part of a aggregated group of combination of tickets, say a $24 trifecta, et cetera. So if taking that for an example, if a $24 trifecta wager were to return $744, a player has really gotten 30 to 1 on his investment into the pool, not 300 to 1 as the IRS currently calculates it. So under the new regs, the IRS will consider the total investment, or what we're calling the total amount wagered into any single pool, and that's what must be 300 to 1 or greater for winnings to be reported. And that's what must see 301 and $5,000 for winnings to be withheld on. So that $24 trifecta that I was describing, that reaches the reporting and withholding thresholds only if you receive 300 to 1 on the entire $24, which obviously is totally different than $744. And in fact, it would now be, hopefully when these new regs are put in place, $7,224 that you would be needed to win to trigger reporting and withholding. So it's a sea change, monumental, have tremendous impact on every aspect of the industry. But these new regs, they're exactly what we have been seeking, and it's great that we've gotten to this point. We've got a 90-day comment period. It'll end on March 30th, and now we're doing everything we can to let the Treasury know how important these regs are and why they need to be enacted immediately upon the conclusion of the 90-day comment period.
Yeah, I wish it was retroactive.
We could all
retire.
We'd all be rich. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have a availability for fans to write to their representatives or to the organization responsible, and it's real easy to do. Can you talk about that?
Sure. It's at ntra.com/comment. ntra.com/comment. You can also just go to ntra.com. It'll be on our homepage of our website. And there's a electronic submission form where we've got a self-populated message to the Department of the Treasury, thanking them for proposing these new regs, listening to the industry, understanding why there is a need to modernize, and urging them to enact these regs as quickly as administratively feasible. So it's all right there. And we encourage everybody to participate in the comment process. We want them to know that the industry is unified behind this effort, and we want them to know how important it is to everyone in the industry, including horse players. And we're also working behind the scenes to with tote companies, racetrack operators, and others to make sure that from an operational standpoint, we are ready to go the moment the Treasury flips the switch and these proposed regulations become new regulations. So a lot going on behind the scenes, but we want to be ready when these regs become law, because they're so horse player friendly, they're so industry friendly, that we don't want any delays on our end when it's time to enact them.
Yeah, it's ntra.com/comment, and it's so easy to do that in the time that you were answering Jude's question, Keith, within less than that time, actually, I was on that link, submitted mine, and it's in. So we would encourage everybody to do it. ntra.com/comment. It takes a matter of 30 seconds to do. And we appreciate everything you're doing on that front through NTRA. And I know all horse players are going to benefit from this and certainly appreciate that as well. Let's shift gears for a minute, Keith. Only a couple of minutes here. We have to get to a break as we're edging toward the top of the hour. But I want to let you talk about that NHC tournament coming up in Las Vegas later this month, January 27th. Through the 29th, big year for NHC. Well done.
Well, it's going to be another great year. We're on pace to have another record purse. We'll be giving away nearly $2.9 million in prizes, purse money, and awards. It'll be up about $100,000 over last year, and we're going to have a record number of participants of more than 550 individuals, nearly 650 total entries, and should be another great 3 days. And of course, looking forward to seeing Paul Matisse accept his Eclipse Award next Saturday night as the 2016 Horse Player of the Year, and then seeing him the following Saturday defend his title. And of course, there'll be a lot of eyeballs and a lot of attention paid to Joe Applebaum, who is a New York-based horse owner, but also a very avid horse player. And Joe won the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge in November and set himself up for quite a potential payday. If he goes on to win the NHC, he will earn, on top of his $800,000 first prize check, a $3 million bonus. So lots of storylines. We've got Cheryl McIntyre, the first female to ever win the NHC Tour. She'll be playing for a $2 million bonus. So a lot of good things, a lot of great activities, storylines, and should be in a very, very exciting 3 days.
Yeah, it all takes place in Las Vegas, January 27th to the 29th. You can learn more by going to ntra.com/NHC. And I'm glad you brought up Joe Applebaum, because he joined us on this program a few weeks back and talked about going for that bonus. It was a great interview. It's posted on our website at horseracingradio.net. Keith, appreciate all the time, my friend. Thank you for spelling everything out, and thank you for all your efforts to help horse players with NTRA. Thanks so much, my friend.
Same to you all. Have a great Saturday.
All right. Keith Chamblin with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. We're back with hour number two right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the 2017 Pegasus World Cup.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor.
a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and six times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Don't miss the 5th Annual Houston Racing Festival from Sam Houston Race Park with over $800,000 in purses Sunday, January 29th. The Houston Racing Festival will be anchored by the $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and will feature four additional stakes races, including the $250,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, the Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and the Spa City Stakes, also the Houston Distaff. First post will be 12 p.m. Central. Take advantage of our low 12% takeout at Sam Houston Race Park.
This weekend, Gulfstream Park gives you an opportunity to win your way to the NHC in Las Vegas. This afternoon, come out early to receive a free musical bottle opener with purchase of an official handicapper program or daily racing form. And on Sunday, it's Gulfstream's NHC Qualifier Handicapping Contest in 10 Palms with a $400 buy-in. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com. And remember to reserve your seat to the $12 million Pegasus World Cup on January 28th by visiting PegasusWorldCup.com. Gulfstream Park, welcome to your playground.
Grade 1 winner Data Link by world-renowned sire Warfront. Data Link scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 Mile at Keeneland. Then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. With a pedigree free of Mr. Prospector in the first four generations, Data Link is the perfect outcross option. His first weanlings turned heads, selling well above the stud fee. Data Link at Claiborne Farm.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here. If you're in Kentucky and you love wine, you need to experience Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. Just a short drive from Lexington, Lover's Leap is one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. Stop in for an educational wine tasting or do what I love most. Simply kick back and relax on their wraparound porch while enjoying the view with a glass of their exceptional wine. And I can tell you, their wines are the perfect fit for all of your farm and company parties. So stop by for a visit today. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN, getting set for a busy second half of the program, which includes Michael Hernan from Gainesway. Going to look forward to visiting with Michael coming up in just a little bit. He'll tell you all about that outstanding stallion roster at Gainesway. And Judah, a fun first half of the program as well, visiting with Terry Finley, talking Pegasus World Cup, and with Keith Chamlin, the COO of the NTRA. So a lot of things to... A lot of things have already been covered on the program this morning, and a lot still to come in the second half of the show.
Yeah, well, Terry was great explaining all the nuances of the Pegasus World Cup. And, of course, hats off to Keith and the NTRA for helping these new regs get passed with the IRS and allow horse players to keep more of the money that they earn.
Yeah, so that should be a benefit to everybody. And you want to go back to our website, listen to that interview with Keith one more time, because it's so, so critical for horse players to support that regulation. And hopefully in a few months it becomes a final regulation right before the Triple Crown. That would be outstanding. All right, we're going to get set. Hour number two comes up next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Pegasus World Cup.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the Ranch Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever unbridled, two-legs back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
But California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's two lengths in front. He's clear of Mr. Hitch battling on. Then for sure wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold.
Great Bong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Trey Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Trey Fong's the leader. Trey Fong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on HRRN. Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. Our producer, Lee Delapina, all with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. And fun first half of the show included Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds, Keith Chamlin from the NTRA. A lot of great information in that first half of the show. If you missed any portion, make sure you head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this show and all of our programming. It's all there for you at horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. JT, one thing we're going to talk about in the second half of the show is that Kentucky Derby trail. We're getting ever closer to the Run for the Roses. I know you love when I do this. So 112 days, 6 hours, 31 minutes, and 50 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. It'll be here before we know it.
Wow, that's less days than I was away from home in 2016.
Yeah, both of us, right? Far less days.
142 was the count on that. So, yeah, it's getting closer.
Speaking of that, last year we spent the entire winter at Gulfstream Park bringing you our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage. That coverage begins again this year, that entire series, on January 28th with our coverage of the $12 million Pegasus World Cup. 4:30 Eastern is when that coverage begins. All of our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage presented by the FTBOA, that's the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, our thanks to them for their support of that series this year, and looking forward to bringing you all of that coverage from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. One other side note, if people didn't get a chance to catch it last night, we now have a brand new sponsor for our Weekend Stakes Preview Show, which comes your way every Friday night, 6 Eastern, on Sirius 219 XM 206, and of course, streaming live and podcast on our website at horseracingradio.net. That new sponsor of the Weekend Stakes Preview is now our friends at Naira Betts. So it is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Yesterday, Jude, you had an opportunity to get with Anthony Stabile, as you do every week, and walk through some of the big races this weekend. You and I will take a little preview, a little peek at some of the races later on in the second half of the show, but you went in depth with Anthony on the program yesterday.
Yeah, well, it's always a fun time to do the stakes preview show and talk about the big races. So looking forward to having Naira Betts on board, having some of their handicappers participate with us, and should be an interesting 2017 with them sponsoring the show.
Yeah, our thanks to all the folks at NYRA and NYRA Bets for their support of what we're doing here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And to all of our sponsors, can't do it without you. So thank you so much for everything you do to make all of this coverage possible throughout the year. Well, I mentioned that countdown to the Kentucky Derby, and Jude every year makes a Kentucky Derby listing of all of his top horses. And at some point, I will spend some time diving into those numbers as well so that you and I can make some educated decisions as we look toward that fantasy stable that we put together with the folks at Churchill Downs every year. But, you know, I was doing some homework for the show, JT, and I also noticed that yesterday marked the anniversary of the death of Stephen Foster, the composer who brought us this little tidbit that you hear every first Saturday in May. That doesn't get you in the mood for the Run for the Roses. If that doesn't give you Derby fever, nothing's going to.
Yeah, and if you bet the over in Vegas, you got it, because that's a very slow version of that song. No, it could get any slower, actually.
Yeah, typically every year, traditionally, played by the University of Louisville Marching Band, and it is a moment that every rider will tell you gives them chills, every owner, every trainer. They'll have tears in their eyes when their horse comes onto the track. And again, that moment going to be here in 112 days. And you're going to hear that race right here on HRN. How about that Derby picture, JT? What's it looking like with 112 days to go?
Well, there's a lot of horses that are on the list. Of course, some will go by the wayside and some will prove themselves unworthy. But I still have Classic Empire atop the charts. He's evidently doing well, according to assistant trainer Norm Cassie. Mastery from Bob Baffert's stable. McCracken, who I understand is close to making his 2017 debut and on the road. Undefeated colt for Ian Wilkes. And then, you know, you have other horses that are question marks. Motown, Oscar Performance, Practical Joke, Good Samaritan, El Arib, who was so impressive winning the other day.
Yeah.
Irish War Cry is a horse by Curlin, trained by Graham Motion, that a lot of people have on their list. He won a little stakes the other day. So, you know, it's starting to heat up, starting to, you know, look like we're going to definitely have a lot of horses in the race. And you know, it's an exciting time of year. I love watching the Derby preps and keep track of them. Gormley came back, and
I was just going to ask you about that. That's the horse that's number two in points right now, Gormley, behind only Classic Empire. Very, very gutsy effort in winning that Sham Stakes at Santa Anita last weekend. What do you do? Do you like Gormley? Not like him?
I'm kind of lukewarm on Gormley.
Yeah.
I don't know why he ran so poorly in the Breeders' Cup. He came back and ran well, so we'll see what happens. We got plenty of time to make final decisions. He obviously has some talent. He's got a good trainer, and John Sheriff's a guy that's already won the Derby, so he knows how to get him there. Lots of things to like about him, but he hasn't really wowed me in anything that he's done, so we'll see what happens.
Let's talk about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner and a horse that you did mention. That's Classic Empire. He is number one in points. He is number one on most people's lists, and I think rightfully so. He's a horse that has done very, very little wrong in his brief career. Classic Empire, is he not only the leader in the clubhouse, but is he the horse to beat right now?
Well, I would say so. I mean, you know, we don't really know where any of these horses are training-wise or how they're going to come back. I mean, Classic Empire hasn't run since he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So, you know, remains to be seen how much he develops. I have a feeling that little time off is going to help him a lot, because he was a little bit immature. He did a couple silly things in racing and training early on in his career, but the last two races have been exceptional. And, you know, Mark Cassie, he knows how to handle horses. I think he's going to be super tough when he comes back. And I think the time off will do him good. Very nice horse, nice pedigree. You can't say enough about him.
We talk about it every year at this time, and typically when trainers come on the program to talk about their Derby prospects, we ask them about their development and how much they matured, filled out from that two-year-old season to their three-year-old campaign. And you think about a horse like Classic Empire, last seen winning the Breeders' Cup in early November. So you're looking at November, December, January, maybe into February before we see him. That's only 3 months.
Right.
Right? And you say, well, how much could a horse really develop in 3 months? But you know as well as I do, Jude, that time, that 3 months, is a massive time frame for horses to fill out and to develop, and they do make big strides.
Yeah, and two-year-olds, you know, even 1 month off is great for a lot of them. Just the mental freshening, go be a horse for a while, as they say. I mean, everybody needs a vacation, you know.
Yep.
And the two-year-olds are under a lot of pressure. It's all new to them. They're trying to do the best they can, because that's how two-year-olds are. They still have that desire to, you know, run hard all the time. So it's very tough on two-year-olds. And then you give them that month off, and they just relax, and they fill out, and they get a little bit more confident when they come back. They know the drill, so it's not as stressful for them. So, you know, I think it's great if you have the luxury of, you know, being able to get into the Derby on points, and you can, you know, take the path that you want. I think it's great to give the horses a rest.
What about a horse like Gunavera, who we're going to see making his way back relatively soon as well? Gunavera was a winner last year of the Grade 2 Saratoga Special, came back in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland on October 8th. He was fifth that afternoon, and then rolled right back with a huge win in that $1 million Delta Downs Jackpot Stakes on November 19th. Where do we see Gunavera fitting into the picture?
Well, you know, I read a stat a while back, and it was very interesting that a horse that had won a sprint race at Saratoga hadn't won the Kentucky Derby in like 80 years. So I kind of threw Gunavera under the bus.
That's shocking.
It's shocking, really. It is. But it's a good stat, and it's not good for Gunavera. I don't know. I have him 15th currently on the list. Right above Sonic Mule, who's an interesting horse who I think is very exciting for horse racing in that he's owned by Calumet Farm. And wouldn't it be great for Calumet to win a Kentucky Derby after a long hiatus? I think that would be kind of cool.
Different silks, though.
Different silks, unfortunately.
It wouldn't be in the Devil's Red.
They
blue
sold
silks.
Those silks to Stud TNT. And,
so sad.
And it is sad, but maybe somewhere along the line they could get him back. If they even want him back, they have their own silks now. But yes, it is sad. But Sonic Mule is a horse that was impressive winning the other day at Gulfstream Park. And I think, you know, Todd Pletcher, again, got a shot. Pletcher's got some more horses. Battalion Runner, another horse that looked pretty good. Royal Moe. I heard a whisper when I was in California during the holidays, and John Sheriff's trains Royal Moe, and that's a horse to keep an eye on, evidently. You know, what about our man Dallas Stewart with Saints Fan?
Yeah.
That horse is doing really well.
Yeah, he's doing extremely well. How about that situation with the quarantine and everything that's happening down there at Fairgrounds right now? It's a total nightmare. How might that affect the road to the Kentucky Derby, at least as it rolls through Louisiana?
Well, it's going to affect it a lot, because horses aren't going to want to ship in because they can't ship out.
Right.
You know, it's like a Roach Motel. So you're kind of stuck. The horses that are down there, I mean, I think for Dallas's horse, it's probably, you know, it's probably a plus. I mean, he could win the Louisiana Derby.
Yeah, as long as he steers clear and doesn't get sick, obviously.
Yeah, the question is, you know, what's going to happen at the end of it, and how long is this going to last? It seems like lately, you know, new horses have been coming up with the virus on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But if they can get it under control and get it to the point where, you know, horses can ship in and out. But
happen when you were training?
No, I mean, not to me.
Right.
I mean, it's happened over the years at different places. We had it happen down in Florida.
Yeah, it's never good. How scary of a situation is it?
Well, I mean, it's first of all, you never want your horses to be sick, that for any reason. And then, you know, when you can't train, you can't run, you can't you know, conduct your business. Yeah. It's not good for the owners. It's certainly not good for the horses. So, you know, it's a situation that unfortunately there's nothing you can do about it, and you just have to go with the flow and do the best you can.
Stall walk him and give him a 7/8 work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can get around the training part. Okay. I mean, most of the horses can train, you know, if they don't have a fever, if they're not ill, they're going to be able to go to the track, but you can't, like I read Sam Houston's delaying their open because they don't have the horses from fairgrounds to come up. It's tough. It's tough on a lot of people in that area. It doesn't just affect fairgrounds. Look at Gunrunner. He was supposed to run, in the, Pegasus.
Yep.
And he's not going to be able to go.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's an industry wide thing, even though, you know, it seems like it's isolated. Oh, it's just down in Louisiana, you know, but
it affects everything.
Affects everything.
Yeah. It affects
everything.
And you brought up a great point. Horses shipping in for those Kentucky Derby prep races, like, you know, now you're not going to ship in because you can't ship out, so you're going to alter your plans. That's really going to hurt those races down at the fairgrounds too.
Absolutely. It's going to be, you know, whoever's on the grounds.
You mentioned the name El Arib a short time ago. This is a three-year-old son of Exchange Rate, won the Jerome Stakes by open lengths, just dominated that race. Very, very easy win for trainer Cathal Lynch and jockey Trevor McCarthy. Are you buying or selling El Arib at this point?
I'm buying. I like him going into the Jerome. I think he's got the pedigree to go on. He's got nice speed. I think he's got a solid trainer. I like him. I think he's one of the ones. I've got him number 8 on my list, actually.
Number 8 for El Arib. You mentioned Sonic Mule. What is it about Sonic Mule that catches your eye, other than the fact that he appears to be absolutely loaded with talent?
Well, that's enough.
That's
enough to make him number 16. You got that. You got Todd Pletcher. You got the fact that he's progressing. I like horses that are moving forward. I thought his race the other day was a tremendous move forward for him. You know, I think he's got a cool name too, Sonic Mule.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a Derby winner to me. I don't know. Anyway, I like him. I think he's an interesting horse.
Yeah, winner of the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream last weekend. He's 4-for-7 lifetime. And one thing that is often talked about when you look at picking the winner of the Kentucky Derby is the pedigree of these horses and which horse has the pedigree to stay the mile and a quarter and do it successfully. Well, you look at Sonic Mule, and he's a son of Distorted Humor out of an AP Indy mare. Now, I have always looked at it in this fashion, Jude, that you want to have stamina on the top and on the bottom, but if you can get that scenario, then you're in great shape. But the stamina for every horse comes more from the dam side than it does from the sire side. Agree, disagree?
Well, I have to kind of disagree. I mean, I think the pedigree is entire.
Okay.
You know, you have to look at all of the pedigree, and sometimes horses get a reputation of, you know, having a speed pedigree or this or that, but when you look at the whole pedigree, they actually have the ability to run much longer than you might think. And the reverse is true. Sometimes horses, you know, it looks like they're conceivably a plotter if you look at their pedigree, but there's some speed components that make a difference. And I think, you know, you have to look at every generation of ancestors, not just one side or the other.
All right, so this has nothing to do with this year's Kentucky Derby, but I think that we would be remiss if we did not give a shout-out to 11-year-old Reynaldo the Wizard, who won his third straight Dubawi Stakes in Dubai this past week, back on Thursday. Now, you say, okay, well, why is that significant? Because if we're going to talk about the road to the Kentucky Derby, Reynaldo the Wizard is a horse that was on the Kentucky Derby trail back in 2008 here in the United States. He was third in the Saratoga Special, then was 10th in the Breeders' Futurity Stakes at Keeneland that year before coming back and finishing fourth in the San Miguel and then running in a couple of allowance races at Churchill, then headed over to Maidan. But 11 years old, wins his third straight Dubawi Stakes. Tip your hat to Reynaldo the Wizard.
Oh, no kidding. Your pointed hat with the stars on it. You know, this horse, he's a freak. I love him to death. Of course, you know my famous line, old guys rule. I tweeted that out on Thursday for
yep.
for Ronaldo, and he's just really cool. Our friend Omar Trevino purchased him for Owen Hardy. Owen Hardy had him when he did the Saratoga race when he placed up there and ran him at Keeneland and all that. But he's gone to Dubai. He's actually won that stake four times. Did you know that? He's won three in a row. But he's actually won it four times. He's
such a cool horse.
He's such a cool, and he didn't just win it yesterday. I mean, he crushed those suckers. I mean, he put the young boys to shame in that race by Spitestown. Just an awesome horse, and just nothing like Reynaldo the Wizard.
Yeah, a spectacular performance on Thursday, and a really nice career. He's won 11 of 27 starts. Those wins, most of them coming in the desert in Dubai. But Reynaldo the Wizard, the 11-year-old son of Spitestown, congrats to him and to all of his connections. He just keeps on trucking right along.
Us old guys, we like the warm weather, you know.
Well, he's going to get that over in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
He's become accustomed to that.
It's good for the old bones.
Yeah, it's so cool that, you know, Terry Finley brought this up in the first half of the show when we visited with Terry from West Point. He talked about California Chrome and how good it is for the sport to see an older horse that could have easily, I mean, he's not a gelding. He could have gone to stud a couple of years ago, right? And he wins the Kentucky Derby. His stock was extremely high. Why not retire him to stud? Well, they didn't. They kept him in training. And here he is making what is expected to be his final career start in the Pegasus World Cup. But Terry mentioned how good that is for racing. Anytime you see a horse that's an old veteran campaigner that's still going strong, competing at the highest levels, it is tremendous for the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, we kind of sometimes laugh about the chromies and all that, but so many people are into this horse, and it's fantastic. He's got fans all over the world. People, you know, dressing his colors. They're wearing the merch. They've got the chromie hats, and he has his own, you know, websites and his own Twitter accounts. And I mean, it's just fantastic that people embrace a horse like that. And his story is so unique, his beginning so humble, and where he's gone to become the best horse in the world, arguably, just fantastic, really.
Yeah, simply spectacular. And again, looking forward to seeing California Chrome and Arrowgate in that rematch on January 28th and hearing the race worldwide right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Make sure you mark your calendars for that event. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back with more. Our Stallion Spotlight segment is on the other side of this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire and the sire of a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
In addition to Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint and King's Bishop winner Dre Fong, Gio Ponti is also represented by Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front. And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings have been well-received in 2016. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Our main event this Saturday at Santa Anita is the Grade 2 La Cañada for older fillies and mares. And don't forget, we're open this Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And it's also Dollar Day. We'll have $1 beers, sodas, and hot dogs throughout the afternoon. And the Grade 3 Megahertz for older fillies and mares at a flat mile on turf will highlight a 9-race card. First post time on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Malibu Moon is a horse you can believe in because of his pedigree and his looks and because of the ability that he's shown winning this maiden race. You can see he was a good horse. The reason I love Malibu Moon is that he has produced winners and stakes winners at every level. In our opinion, the best stallion in Kentucky was AP Indy, and he is AP Indy's best son at stud. is a horse that you can believe in because he's done it at every level.
Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
New to cool more America for 2017, Air Force Blue. A force to be reckoned with. A champion two-year-old by Warfront.
And Air Force Blue now comes bounding through. Two, three lengths clear. A really good horse.
A three-time Group 1 winner, armed with a devastating turn of foot. He's ready to take flight as a sire. It's time to get on board. Coolmore America, home of champions.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
La Bernadette, who knows? Best turned out. Don't worry. La Bernadette's bursting away with the first round of the Maktoum Challenge. La Bernadette coming away has won brilliantly.
La Bernadine successfully defended his title in the Al Maktoum Challenge in Dubai this past week. The son of Darley stallion Bernardini now has 8 wins and more than $600,000 in career earnings, making Le Bernardine your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and the Sales Ring Smash. The sire of 13 Grade 1 winners to date, including Cavorting, Alpha, To Honor and Serve, Stay Thirsty, and Rachel's Valentina. Bernardini had 10 graded stakes winners on dirt in 2016. Only Tappet had more. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Don't forget, we're here with you every single Saturday, 8 a.m. Eastern with the Equine Forum. If you missed any portion of this show or any of our shows, head over to horseracingradio.net and check out the podcast. Also, don't forget to join the Big A, Anthony Stabile, every single Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern time with our Express Bet Radio program. Express Bet Radio comes your way 3 to 6 Eastern, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoons. And you can tune in on Sirius Channel 219, XM Channel 206, and you can stream the show worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And then, JT, a couple of other programs that people will want to make sure they check out during the week. That's our Jock Talk show, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, 6 Eastern every Tuesday night. On Wednesday night, Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. That program also at 6 Eastern. Then our Bristnet.com call-in show on Thursdays, and on Friday at 6 Eastern, the Weekend Stakes Preview Show presented by Naira Betts. So an awful lot of content, more than 800 hours of racing programming comes your way throughout the year here on the network, and you can access it anywhere you may be on our website.
Absolutely. Love to download a few podcasts when I'm flying and catch up with Christina's shows or...
Yeah. That show this past week with Eddie Delahousse is a must listen.
Yeah, Eddie's such a great guy, and what an accomplished career. I mean, won almost every major race there is to win, and he's continuing on as a bloodstock agent now and doing well, and always a pleasure to see him. Got to catch up with him a little bit at Breeders' Cup this year, last year, actually.
Yeah.
It all melds in together. Anyway, he's fantastic.
How many times did you give a leg up to Eddie D?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I think, and I'm not sure, I'd have to go back and check my list. It's been a long time. But I think he's the most winningest jockey with me.
Really?
I think we won more races together than any other jockey.
The Delahousse Fell jockey trainer combo?
It was a good combo. I remember... when he rode my first winner, Patrick Valenzuela rode the first horse I ever saddled, which was Bronze Parade at Del Mar. And then we went to Oak Tree, and Patrick wasn't available, and I got Eddie to ride. Eddie couldn't ride Bronze Parade in Del Mar, and so Patrick couldn't ride him at Oak Tree, but Eddie rode him, and he won. And the horse got claimed that day. So I claimed another horse, and I went to Craig O'Brien, who was his agent at the time, and I said, I'm going to run this horse on December 30th, and I'd like Eddie to ride her. And he said, I can't. I've got a call with somebody else. So I was my friend Michael Sim, who was a jockey, he was breezing the filly and stuff. And Michael Sim rode, 25 horses a meet. And he was actually doubled up in that race. Yeah. He had another call. He said, I got to ride Shiner's horse. Speaking of Ronaldo the Wizard. Ronaldo P. Shiner was the trainer's name.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so he rode Shiner's horse. And I'm giving my filly a bath. Harry Silbert, Shoemaker's agent, walks up, morning, Jude, all cheery with his cigar in his mouth. I was grumpy. And he goes, what's wrong with you? You're never in a bad mood. I said, I just found out I lost my jock in this race. And he said, I'll ride the filly. Can she win? I said, oh, yeah, she's going to win. And he says, okay, I'll ride her for you. And I said, well, we'll bet $100 for you.
Right.
So we did, and the filly won. And so after the race, I'm down by the walking ring, and here comes Eddie, and he's walking with Craig, and he says to me, how come I didn't ride that filly for you? And I said, well, Craig said you had another mount. He turns to Craig, and this was an ultimate compliment to me, which was totally not warranted in my opinion, but he said, don't you know that Jude knows how to train, and anytime he wants me on a horse, I want to ride it.
Whoa.
That's exactly, and that was my second win in my third start, and that's what he said, and it was very complimentary, and I felt like not nearly the same thing, but when Joe Biden got the Medal of Honor yesterday, he said he didn't deserve it. That's what I felt like. I really didn't deserve that comment, and I kind of felt bad for Craig. But after that, whenever I asked Craig if he could possibly do it, he would ride for me, and so we won a lot of races together.
Great story. That entire interview with Eddie Delahousse on Jock Talk is posted on our website, horseracingradio.net. It's a full hour. Make sure you go back and check it out, and also check out Trainer Talk presented by Fasic Tipton, because Jude and I had a really, really enjoyable visit with trainer John Ortiz, who was just getting started with his career. He worked for guys like Bill Mott and Graham Motion. He tells some great stories about some of the early days as he was coming up as an assistant. So make sure you head back and check out those podcasts, all on our website, horseracingradio.net.
He's got four in today at Oaklawn, by the way.
Yes, he does.
So
he kind of made it a point to tell us about those. Reading between the lines.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have told us if they were going to get drubbed, right?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, he sounds very optimistic, so keep an eye on him anyway. Give him an extra check mark when you're handicapped.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. Time now for our new weekly segment. You'll hear this segment all the way through breeding season over the next several months, and it is our Stallion Spotlight segment.
They're coming down to the finish, and in dramatic style of Fleet Alex, who almost fell at the top of the stretch, has won the Preakness by 5 lengths.
To honor and serve a stubborn foe, Mucho Macho Man, those two, and to honor and serve, would not let Mucho Macho Man by. A game winner of the Woodward.
Anchor Down is still there, coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Obviously the catch. Cara Conti with a rush on the outside. Goes by him. Fleetwood from Ed O'Dall. Cara Conti and O'Dall.
Heavy drive on the far outside. Eddington doing his best. Four of them down to the finish now. Master David comes on through. Tappet. Eddington fights on. It's going to be a blanket finish. Here's the wire. And Tappet takes it.
Tapazar the one to catch. Rail Trip finishing starting, but Tapazar's well clear. Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Down to the final 100 yards of the Belmont. Empire maker Jerry Bailey asking him for everything he has. 10 most wanted right there with him. Here's the wire. And Empire maker has won the 135th Belmont Stakes.
Well, and if you couldn't tell, this Stallion Spotlight segment this week going to focus on the Gainesway Stallions. And boy, that's a trip down memory lane right there. You think about some of those performances by A Fleet Alex, by Empire Maker, Cara Conti, Tapazar, even Tappet to Honor and Serve. I mean, the list goes on and on. And Birdstone, the dejected tone in Tom Durkin's voice when he won the Belmont Stakes, denying the Triple Crown.
That was unbelievable. A day I'll never forget.
Yeah, well, Michael Hernan is with us. I know he'll never forget that day as well. Michael with Gainesway. And, Michael, you think about these performances by those horses when they were on the racetrack and now the success that they're having at stud at Gainesway. I tip my hat to you, my friend. Well done.
Great to be with you guys here again, and thanks for that good piece on the Stallions. And yeah, Birdstone, he still doesn't get much respect. He just keeps producing graded stakes winners. Even last weekend, Blue Tone won a grade two at Santa Anita, and he's healthy, he's well, he's fertile, he's well worth a look, and he's proven out and out, and obviously can really get you a good runner for small money.
We're gonna talk about Birdstone. We're gonna talk about all of the Gainesway Stallions, but I think that it would be appropriate to start with a horse by the name of Tappet, who has really become one of the most influential and breed shaping stallions that we've seen in the past. Oh, I don't know, half century or so. He is the leading sire in North America, 2014, 15, and 16. A horse who just continues year in and year out to produce top race horses. Michael, what's the secret with Tappet? How's he keep going?
He's a law unto himself. He's now breaking his own records. He's, just truly an exceptional stallion. He's historic. Progeny earnings now $110 million. Third consecutive year as the leading general sire, joining Bull Ruler and Danzig in that area. He started the year very well. He's got this very exceptional top filly on the West Coast for Don Alberto, trained by Jerry Hollendorfer, Unique Bella. She looks like a monster, and maybe she's potentially an Oaks filly. It looks that way. She's big and strong. She was a very dominant winner. But Tappet, he's, his success was immediate. He was the leading freshman juvenile sire year one, and he's just continued to produce out-and-out top horses, be they colts, fillies. They go long, they go short. Last year we had Filly Dead Heat in the Spinaway, grade one at Saratoga, and prior to that he had sired his second Belmont winner, obviously a mile and a half there, classic race in the form of Creator, bred by Greg Goodman and sold by Gainesway on behalf of Mount Brilliant. Creator showed that Tappet will to win and getting up on the line at the crucial time to secure his second classic winner. So Tappet, he can just get you any kind of horse. He changes mares, produce records. He changes breeders' lives. He time and again gets the high selling, either yearling or two-year-old in training. This year he had a remarkable nine mares pregnant in, by this year I mean in the fall of 16, and his in-foal covering sire average is 1.7 million, which is unbelievable. Ooh. And he's having very good success this week in Australia, and he's just, the franchise. He's the real deal, and he can truly change a mayor's life, and it's great to be around him and to be involved with him. He's just a special horse. He's great to deal with. He's very good in the shed, and I don't think it's going to stop.
I like that, the franchise.
Well, I call him money in the bank. Our business is so hard. ordinarily.
Yep.
But if you have a nice mare and she crosses well with Tappet and you breed the Tappet, if you're lucky enough to get in, because it's not the easiest thing in the world anymore. But I mean, you've got to figure that if that foal is a nice foal, it's pick any number, as Trevor Denman would say.
I mean,
it's just, it's unbelievable. And the covering, sire, I mean, if you're selling a mare and you are lucky enough to have that mare and foal to Tappet, just that.
It's a home run.
It's
automatic
home run. It's fantastic, really, when you think about it. And I wasn't around for the, you know, the Northern Dancer heydays and all of that, Mr. Prospector. But, you know, I mean, this is really a unique situation, I think.
Yeah, it's breed shaping as it comes. And if you can't get into Tappet, well, maybe you want to take a look at Tappet's grade one winning Miler, who also stands at Gainesway. That is Tapazar. And who can forget his brilliant speed that he showed on the racetrack, Michael?
Very good horse. He progressed through his racing career. He finished up in great style, winning the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Santa Anita over a very strong field. He won by daylight, and he too is making a very promising start at stud. He's in the top five of the freshman stallions of last year. He won his only start as a two-year-old. He improved as he matured, and we hope that will continue in the style of himself, Tapazar, for his progeny. And, you know, big, good-looking, strong horse out of a deputy minister mare. He's got two very good two-year-olds in Japan. I think you'll be hearing more about those once they enter stakes company. They were both dominant winners at two in Japan late in the year. He sells well. Fine animal. He gets size and scope and strength into his product. And we're pretty optimistic about his chances as these two-year-olds turn the calendar and start racing at three.
Well, Tapazar is not the only son of Tappet who stands at Gainesway. You also have his son, Anchor Down, who is the newest addition to the roster here this year. And Anchor Down is a horse that put in some unbelievable performances on the racetrack, too.
Very well-bred son of Tappet, Anchor Down. He was a top miler. He ran a mile in 1:32.4. He was trained by Todd Pletcher. He raced for Alto Stables. We sold him to Steve Young out of the Keeneland September sale. He showed speed initially, won his first two career starts. He then went on the shelf, unfortunately, but he came back strong. He won the Kelso in 1:32.4, which was just three-fifths off a track record. And that day he defeated a top field, including Tama Cruz, who went on to be a dominant winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So that endorsed his form very significantly. He was a wire-to-wire winner of the Westchester Grade 3 by 6 3/4 lengths. He ran 105 Beyer that day. He was runner-up in the Met Mile to the Great Frosted, another son of Tappet. Anchor Down comes out of a graded stakes winning Orientate mare named Successful Outlook. She was a graded winner at two. Orientate himself was a champion sprinter, retired sound. He also won the Breeders' Cup sprint in his final career start. And he's at a dream team, a grade one winner at two, herself trained by Wayne Lucas. Very good gene pool here. And horse is well worth a look. He stands 16-1. He's got good quality, good scope. Very balanced horse, good head on him. He's very similar to Tappet in looks. He has some height, and you know, anybody who hasn't seen him are welcome to come over to Gainesway and see him and the other stallions any day between 12:30 and 2:30. And we're excited about Anchor Down. He had speed, he was tough, and we know milers make stallions, and this horse was a very good miler indeed, and he's by Tappet out of a really good graded stakes winning mare who also has already produced a grade one winner in the form of Sweet Lulu, daughter of Mr. Greeley. She was a very good filly. She won the test at Saratoga, and it's a very quality pedigree, very good Gene Poole. The second dam is by Gulch, himself a champion sprinter, and the third dam is by the great Blushing Groom. So there's really good blood here. He's 10 grand live foal, standard nurse, and he's got a lot of credentials to make it. We were buying mares for him this week at the January sale at Keeneland, and he'll get good internal support, and we'd be happy to discuss him and share a position with potential investors in Anchor Down.
Michael Herndon from Gainsway joining us for the Stallion Spotlight segment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jude, I know that when Anchor Down, when it was announced that he was coming to Gainsway to stand stud, I immediately got a hold of you because I know you were such a big fan of his on the racetrack.
Yeah, he's such a good horse, and the pedigree that Michael talked about. I mean, you're talking champion after champion, grade one winner after grade one winner.
What more do you want?
And then you go to the stud fee, 10 grand, and you go, wow. That's, you know, in this day and age, that's really a absolute bargain. And for a horse of that quality who looks like he has such a bright future at stud, now's the time to get in on the ground floor, so to speak. A
couple of other stallions to touch on, Michael, and one of those is a horse that I think is going to be simply sensational. That is To Honor and Serve, who is Bernardini's best son at stud, and a horse that was so precocious. I loved watching him run, and then turned out to be really, really good as he got to be an older horse too.
Sure did. He won three of four starts at two graded stakes, and he progressed as a three-year-old. He won the Cigar Mile in dominant fashion over older horses. He also had won the Pennsylvania Derby, and then as a four-year-old, he won a terrific battle with Mucho Macho Man in the Woodward, grade one at Saratoga. And, of course, Mucho Macho Man went on to a great win in the Classic, Breeders' Cup Classic, that is, at Santa Anita. Tanner and Serve, out of a deputy minister mayor, big pedigree, fine individual. He was a 575 yearling when sold by TaylorMade. It's a big pedigree. He's been well supported internally and by his owner, Charlotte Weber of Live Oak. Tanner and Serve looks like his two-year-olds are progressing with distance as we anticipated. He had a good second place in a 100 grand stake last weekend, just touched off by a head. And I think with maturity, Tanner and Serve stock will continue to improve their position as three-year-olds and as the races stretch out in distance.
Michael, I'm going to let you take it any direction that you want to go next. We still have a Fleet Alex, Empire Maker, Hat Trick, and Cara Conti. Just a few minutes left in the segment, so I'll let you steer it in any direction you want to go after we remind people that they can learn more about all the Gainsway stallions at Gainsway.com.
Well, I think you have to, you know, when you come to Gainsway, must-see is Empire Maker. He came back from Japan last year, bred a top book of mares. He bred 130 mares. Beautiful horse to look at, great to deal with. He really is a top stallion in his own right and obviously is responsible for Pioneer the Nile, and he's the grandsire of American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner. Empire Maker, tremendous Judmont pedigree. We're delighted to have secured him in partnership with Don Alberto. Both Don Alberto and Gainsway are sending him top mares. First crop American foals since his return will be arriving here this spring. He stands for 85,000 live foals, stand and nurse. And again, a very proven horse, a beautiful horse to look at. He's had much success in the sale ring. He gets a very appealing type of horse physically. And again, out and out proven horse. And, you know, just a super stallion. And come see him over at the farm. And Cara Conti, too. Triple grade one winner, Breeders' Cup, turf mile winner at Santa Anita. From the 14 hole,
he was that was a great race.
It was terrific. He was a grade one winner at two in France, and he won the French 2000 guineas like Green Dancer, Blushing Groom, and the likes. There's a tremendous pedigree behind this horse. Son of Bernstein, just like Teppan. Cara Conti, very balanced, strong horse, great breeder, highly fertile, And, of course, his third dam is the remarkable Miesque, herself Dam of King Mambo. So he had the ability. He proved that. He's got the pedigree. He's a good-looking horse. He's highly fertile. And he's got a great chance to make it at stud.
Michael Hernan, Gainsway Farm. Again, you can learn more about all of the Gainsway Stallions by visiting their website, gainsway.com, and then swing out to the farm and make sure you come inspect these horses because they are really on a roll. And plus, you get to see the breed-shaping stallion Tappet, the nation's leading sire, over the course of the past several years. It's just an amazing run for Tappet and for all those stallions at Gainsway. Michael, appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for coming into the studio for this segment.
Nice to be back with you, and congrats on the progression of the show, and glad to be part of it.
Yeah, Michael Hernan here on HRRN. We'll get to a break. We'll come back with more right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the 2017 Pegasus World Cup.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor.
a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Homeward Bound and Vale Dari, Moyo Honey has room at the rail. Down the center, Wild at Heart is coming home gamely. Vale Dari, though, still has a commanding lead, digs deep and finds more. And Vale Dari in another classy performance this afternoon. Vale Dari and Mike Smith, far too good in the Bayakoa. They win it easy. Wild at Art second, then Moyo Honey, Show Stealer, Barbara Beatrice, Autumn Flower, Glory Zapper, and Desert Madam.
Vale Dari, an easy winner that Bayakoa back at Del Mar on December 3rd. Trevor Denman had the call. Vale Dari back in action later this afternoon in the Grade 2 La Cunada Stakes at Santa Anita. On the board at 1-5. That's the morning line on Vale Dari in that mile and a 16th test. And it goes as race number 5 this afternoon at the Great Race Place. Jude on the other coast. By the way, Jude Feld, Mike Penna with you on the Equine Forum. On the other coast in South Florida at Gulfstream Park. Another big day during their championship meet. And a couple of those races look like they're going to be pretty competitive.
Yeah, three graded stakes at Gulfstream. Very nice card in South Florida. It looks like the weather's going to be okay. They're going to kick off the stakes action with the Marshua's River Stakes. That's a grade three, a mile and a 16th on the turf for fillies and mares. An interesting horse in here, Elusive Million, came over from France, was in the barn of Chad Brown for one start. Got beat 55 lengths in that race. That was the Beverly D, however.
Definitely an interesting horse.
Maybe a little bit of an overmatch. Showed speed, was on the lead for a while, but backed up considerably under Julio Felix. Not exactly one of Chad Brown's number one go-to guys. But anyway, now in the barn of Patrick Biancone, the filly ran second in her Biancone debut at Gulfstream on December the 15th. She's come back to work well. She's got the good closing style that you're going to need in this race because there's so many fillies with speed entered here. You've got Dickinson on the outside, Isabella Sings, Seacoast, who's a very consistent filly for Christophe Clement. You've got Sandiva as well, who just ran second. There's kind of a name out of the past. She's been kicking around for quite a few years, six-year-old mare. But Elusive Million can close. Julian Leperoux is riding her back. I think that's a very good sign, and I look for Elusive Million to be pretty effective at a square price in the Marshua's River.
Yeah, it would be a square price in that one if she could pull it off. The morning line is 12-1 on Elusive Million.
Yeah, nothing Patrick Biancone likes better than to cash a ticket. So we always
it doesn't everybody.
Yes, well, yes, but we like to keep an eye on Patrick and make sure that there's something going on. In the Fort Lauderdale Stakes, this is a grade two going a mile in the 16th for the four-year-olds and up, a $200,000 purse. And the Hard Knock and Heart to Heart is in this race. You know, horses always tough to beat. I mean, no matter how much speed is entered, there's lots of speed again in this race. But he seems to be able to overcome that at every opportunity. It doesn't matter who's entered. He just gets out there and runs. I was a little bit attracted to Luke's Alley, Josie Carroll's entrant. He's a seven-year-old by Flower Alley, bred by his owner Eugene Melnick in Ontario. This horse hasn't raced since November the 6th, the Autumn Stakes at Woodbine. That race was on the Pauly. He's won 6 of 11 on the Pauly, but he's also never been worse than second, only once worse than second on the turf. And this race is on the grass. Paco Lopez rides. He won a race at Gulfstream Park last year, the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap. That's a grade one at 5-1. And I think he's got a chance to upset in the Fort Lauderdale Stakes, the 10th race at Gulfstream.
Post time for that one, 4:34 Eastern time. Just about going to do it for us on this edition of the Equine Forum. Our thanks to all of our special guests for being with us this morning, including Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds, Keith Chamlin from the NTRA, and Michael Hernan from Gainesway. Want to wish our good friend Bob Baffert a very happy birthday, belated birthday. His birthday was yesterday, but that's okay. We'll do it now. Don't forget to head over to hrnenespanol.com to check out our Saturday morning talk show. Starts at 10 Eastern, all in Spanish. Hablando de Abismo, presented by Gulfstream Park. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.